what's worth saying's Question Time Review. Question Time. The 2nd of March, 2023. The panel, Graham Stewart, Conservative. Jonathan Reynolds, Labour. Tom Harwood, Journalist. Jürgen Meyer, Businessman. Kirsty Blackman, SNP. The venue, Sunderland. First question, dear God, was about Brexit, despite the fact that we voted to leave 7 years ago. Le Bruce gushed as the questioner described Northern Ireland as being the most exciting economic zone in the world, following the recently rehashed Northern Ireland Protocol. Bruce repeated over and over again, the most excited economic zone, like a lunatic in an asylum whose brain was melted by a terrible trauma which, since the events of the 23rd of June 2016, I suppose she is. She asked a supplementary of the questioner who, on cue, blamed Brexit for everything, while Bruce threatened a climax. On the other hand, Graham Stewart, Conservative, had been a Remainer at the time of the referendum, but is now a Brexiteer. He said we'd voted to be more independent, no matter what the consequences of economic growth. A frustrated Bruce squealed that we were previously an independent country within you. No, we weren't, silly mare. Graham Stewart is the Conservative MP for Beverley and Holderness. Like all the very best people, Graham was born in Carlisle in 1962. Privately educated at the £40,000-a-year Glen Aldman College near Perth, the Minister of State for Energy Security and Net Zero, went on to fail his degree in philosophy and law at Selwyn College, Cambridge. The interest of equality of opportunity, you pay Graham's sister to be his office manager. Appropriately, given his ministerial position, Mr. Stewart's constituency sits next to Drax Biomass Power Station, Britain's biggest and Europe's third biggest emitter of carbon dioxide. In the money-making fraud that is net zero in the year to October 2021, the plant generated 14.8 million tonnes of carbon dioxide while being paid an £800 million subsidy for being green. Interestingly, Remainer Jonathan Reynolds, Labour, had had enough and refused his chance to satisfy Bruce. As if making an excuse and leaving, he said we can talk about this forever, but there isn't going to be another referendum. We can improve things no matter what. The suspicion is that no matter what Bruce fantasises about, the Labour Party's polling suggests continued support for Brexit and political difficulties for an overly Remainer Labour Party. An idiot in the audience wondered why the automotive industry is on its knees and why there are no tomatoes. Net zero, love. Because of the transition to the production of unwanted and impractical electric cars and the ridiculous cost of heating greenhouses. Tranny alert. A freak in the audience wearing a cowboy hat above out-of-control ginger curls began, as a non-binary person, struth. Apparently, a British Bill of Rights would finish him, her, off, somehow. Another audience member chastised Bruce, saying that Sunderland wasn't the most Brexit place in the referendum, and the locals were sick of being used as a media petri dish for those weird Brexiteers. A bigly triggered Bruce said she hadn't said that. Yes, you did, Fiona. We all know the code words. Bruce was now out of control, interrupting Tom Harwood, journalist, while he explained sensibly that Sunak has oversold the Northern Ireland advantage in order to get his new agreement past Parliament. Material opportunities are open to us to set taxes, roll out vaccines, and take the lead on Ukraine. Tom spoke very well. Since 2016, many other things have happened besides Brexit. What was Kirsty Blackman, SNP, pretending to be? The sides of her head were shaved, man-like, and she was wearing a man's jacket. Away from clown world, she's middle-aged, married to Luke, and has two kids. What's this about? Privately educated Mrs. Blackman is the SNP MP for Aberdeen North and the party's spokesperson for the Cabinet Office. After leaving £43,000 a year Robert Gordon's College, Kirsty enrolled at the University of Aberdeen to read medicine, but dropped out without qualifying. Despite being incapable of writing a prescription or holding testicles while simultaneously asking for a cough, Kirsty is qualified to run the country, having been elected to Parliament at the 2015 general election. As recently as last week, Mrs. Blackman tweeted her support for the LGBT Youth Scotland organisation and pictured herself in a purple hoodie while taking part in that organisation's Purple Friday event. She even included a link to their donations page.
This was despite the fact that only weeks earlier the organisation was referred to the police over child abuse claims which are currently under investigation. According to the Scottish Daily Express, LGBT Youth Scotland is funded by the SNP's Scottish Government to the tune of £400,000 a year, with a further £250,000 coming from local councils, many of them SNP-controlled. The Scottish LGBTI Police Association also fundraise for the charity. Also in December of last year, LGBT Youth Scotland signed an open letter urging MSPs to back the Scottish Government's controversial gender assignment reforms, which are subsequently vetoed by the Westminster Government. There is no excuse for Mrs. Blackman not to know of LGBT Youth Scotland's connections to child abuse. As long ago as 2009, a former LGBT Youth Scotland chief executive, James Rennie, was convicted of running Scotland's biggest paedophile network. One of Rennie's accomplices, John Murphy, was an after-school programme instructor and journalist with the Gay Times. Astonishingly, in 2005, Rennie received an award for community safety and was lauded in the Scottish Parliament. Rennie and his co-conspirators' crimes are too vile to repeat on this website. Suffice it to say their abuse included the disabled and boys as young as 3 months old. Regarding last December's allegations, two survivors, Sam Cowie and Daniel Nectan, gave an interview to the Red X website, which can be read here. In the article, Mr. Cowie and Mr. Nectan claim the charity, which delivers programmes to schools, organisations and businesses, encourages them to abuse alcohol and took them to gay bars in Edinburgh despite their being underage. Mr. Cowie told Redux, "I was plied with alcohol free of charge, encouraged to sleep with older men, and given money to perform sexual acts." Mr. Nectan added, "Although I was young, many people involved in this charity were in their 20s and 30s, and, as far as I can tell, there was no safeguarding or anything. In fact, it seemed more like a social network to connect older men with often vulnerable teenagers." This is what Kirsty Blackman is publicly endorsing, raising money for, and allocating public funds to. Shame on her. Meanwhile, back on the question, Kirsty's Brexit phobia was as wild as her identity confusion. Tom and Graham countered her with facts about growth and tomato shortages in Ireland. Gawping Bruce saved her with interruptions, like a bent boxing referee saving a battered fighter. Tom attacked with more facts. "We can subsidise the energy prices here for consumers because we're not in the EU. Thomas Hedley Fairfax Harwood is a political correspondent with GB News. Formerly, Tom was under Murdoch mouthpiece Fatty Fox's Assad imitation of your favourite glowing postal blog." I'll say that again. Formerly, Tom was under Murdoch mouthpiece Fatty Fox's Assad imitation. Oh, never mind. Privately educated at the Pierce School, Cambridge, Tom is a Durham University politics graduate. Looney in the audience did a Cook's tour of the north of England, listing the places she'd lived in the last 31 years. She claimed the EU social fund was needed in the north, as if the people there, like the Scots, need to scrounge handouts. Jürgen Meyer had been patient, he informed us. "The last 3 years have been a mess," he said, but he forgot to add because of the war in Ukraine, net zero madness and the pandemic. But he was optimistic. Sunak has rebuilt trust. There can be a sensible conversation now over our future relationship with the EU. His repressed Brexit phobia led to exaggerated hand signals and for red tape to burst out of his ears. The BBC's carefully selected rabid Remainer audience applauded. The second question was about Matt Hancock's disclosed messages. Hold on, they're not Matt Hancock's, but rather Isabel Oakeshott's, who passed, sold them to the Daily Telegraph after Hancock passed them to her to help write a book. Jonathan Reynolds didn't try to score party political points. He wanted to retain judgment and went on to, quite rightly, criticise the time it's taking for the official pandemic inquiry to report. On Heat, Bruce set off again, this time talking dirty. "Teachers are asses. Do you agree with that?" she asked Graham Stewart, presumably quoting from the spiciest Hancock WhatsApp message that she could find. Graham Stewart agreed with Jonathan. It needed to be inquired into properly by the official inquiry. Graham accused Bruce of being a journalist, and journalists were quoting selectively from the Three Kings James Bible's worth of evidence in the WhatsApp messages. We need to hear from the inquiry. Having ratted after signing a non-disclosure agreement, it was Oakeshott who had questions to answer. Bruce said Oakeshott had been invited on the programme but couldn't come all the way up to Sunderland. Jürgen thought this didn't pass the smell test, a bit like Siemens when he was CEO. Despite being born in Karlsruhe, Jürgen self-defines as being Austrian-British. When he was 10 years old, the Myers emigrated to Leeds. After studying production engineering at Trent Polytechnic, Jürgen became a salaryman at the giant German industrial conglomerate Siemens. During his 33 years at the company, as he rose to be UK CEO, Siemens was a byword for bribery and corruption, details of which can be found in this previous edition of QT Review. According to himself via his website, Brainy Jürgen is properly monikered Professor Jürgen Meyer, CBEFRSFRNFIETFCGI, and is an industrialist, chair of the Digital Catapult, co-founder of VocL, and former chief executive of Siemens UK. He's also an advisor to tech startup and scale-up businesses. And is an advisor to Welsh hydrogen car company River Simple. He is an honorary professor at Nottingham Trent University, the University of Manchester, and Manchester Metropolitan University. Snores. And has honorary doctorates from the University of Lincoln, the University of Nottingham, the University of Hull, the University of etc., 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 etc. His website is such a load of lefty word soup green bollocks that it's obvious that he's given up on the practicalities of engineering and just wants to be on the telly. During one such appearance, Jürgen kicked the closet door off its hinges, or rather the Type 3 stepped down off its retractable hinges, while talking about bits of aeroplane at an Airbus factory. Why do the media and politics attract these perverts? A heavy female in the audience said Gavin Williams had been critical of teachers because the profession is female heavy. This is the biggest thing that's ever happened, claimed Kirsty. Nobody was well enough prepared for what happened. Was the science being followed? Tom claimed politics was at play rather than science, with Scotland being no better than England. This information is not new anyway. It was on the front pages of the newspapers at the time. There is no smoking gun. The next question queried the continuance of the price cap as wholesale gas prices fall. Graham explained that the consumer is going to be paying the previous price as energy companies have to buy ahead. When the government cap is removed in April, we'll have to pay more. Some of the poorest will be helped through higher benefit payments. Kirsty conjured money from thin air to continue the cap. The BBC audience clapped like seals at the idea of free money. The government will extend the subsidy, said Jürgen. There is also a deal to be struck with energy companies. This is depressing, said Tom. There has been a failure of policy for 30 years. We're short of nuclear power, which is even banned in Scotland. We have a wealth of oil and gas which isn't exploited. Even wind farms are banned on land. Local Greens campaign against solar farms. There's no type of energy production left. Just build it. Just do it. There was cheering. Is Sunderland about to do to net zero what they did to the European Union? Clown World's Jonathan Reynolds said the opposite. He was expecting money and energy to appear from nowhere via an extended cap. Jonathan Reynolds is the Labour MP for Stalybridge and Hyde and the Shadow Secretary of State for Business and Industrial Strategy. Houghtonly spring-born Jonathan graduated in modern history from the University of Manchester before commencing further studies in law. He entered Parliament in the 2010 general election. From the bottom of your hearts in 2021 to 2022, you were kind enough to pay the rent on Jonathan's £730 a week apartment in London and an astonishing £167,000 for his staff. Surprise, surprise, in the interest of equality of opportunity, one of those employees was Jonathan's wife. In 2017 to 2018, he also paid £2,841.82 for his wife and kids to go and visit him in London under the MP's Dependents Travel Scheme. Under this scheme, you pay for up to 30 trips per year per dependent from Daddy's constituency to Daddy's £730 a week London apartment. Aren't you generous? A lady was depressed by the levels of poverty in Sunderland. A gentleman in the audience asked what the plan was. There didn't seem to be one. Or was there? It's under review, teased Graham, as if about to unveil a bedroom surprise to an expectant Fiona Bruce.